truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Jim, with all due respect, I've just got to take this last question as an example of how it's very hard to have.
I just wanted to say, if you really feel that way, that you don't want to donate to Haiti.
Are you serious? That would be kind of funny.
This kind of agenda is forced upon the, say, the Marine Corps.
Hang in there, honey.
Evil white man.
F you.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, the Through the Looking Glass, Alice in Wonderland of Talk Radio, as we take you through the issues and the news of the day and even how you feel about them here at 877-876-PHIL, where truth is our bitch. And this hour, Dr. Ron Tarner joins us for a look, a further look, an update, a pass by, if you will, of the global climate change issue. There's been a lot going on, man, a lot of stories. It's a story that's near and dear to our heart because we've been very honest and open in saying, whichever way the wind blows, baby, I'm fine with that. Just give me the straight scoop, you know, tell me what's going on. Answer my questions. And I don't want anybody telling me that the science is settled. I don't want anybody telling me that, oh, that's just, you let daddy figure all these things out. I don't want anybody telling me that, that's a dumb question. I don't need anybody telling me that either I get it or I go to prison. I don't want any of that stuff. No thinking human being wants that. I would like to see good, honest scientists and people of good faith debating. It doesn't have to be vociferous and angry. It can be respectful. But I want to hear the issues aired, and I want to hear the reasons for and against. And we haven't gotten that. We have not gotten that. Dr. Tarner will be with us in a moment, but first, the chairman of the leading climate change watchdog group was informed that claims about melting Himalayan glaciers were false before the Copenhagen summit. Before the Copenhagen summit, according to the Times of London.
Really?
Yes.
Times of London.
Watch it. Rajendra Pachauri was told that the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change Assessment that the glaciers would disappear by 2035 was wrong. But he waited 2 months to correct it. He failed to act despite learning that the claim had been refuted by several leading glaciologists. The IPCC's report underpinned the proposals at Copenhagen for drastic cuts in global emissions. This IPCC report, folks, that we talked about last week, was presented, and as this article just indicated, was a linchpin in the adopting of a great many suggestions and recommendations and so forth at this climate change conference. And I got to tell you, the scientists are either really brilliant and they're way out ahead on this thing, or we're so stupid, it's sad. And we're like a bunch of monkeys in a cage, while the scientists and Al Gore, they are all guys with those big heads like they come from another planet. Do you see that Outer Limits with me?
Yeah, when a guy went into the future and his head got big.
Right, that's Al Gore. Al Gore went into the future and his head got big, and you and I are still swinging from our tails.
Right.
Man, that's hard, man. That's hardcore. You still see that?
I do. That's what he thinks. He thinks he's got the big head because he went into the future a million years, and you, me, and Bud, we're swinging from our tails from a tree doing a bunch of tricks on 100 yards of grapevine.
Man.
That's right. Anyway, the Dr. Pachauri, who played a leading role at the summit, corrected the error last week. After coming under media pressure, he told the Times on the 22nd of January that he had only known about the error for a few days. He said, "I became aware of this when it was reported to the media about 10 days ago. Bull crap. Before that, it was really not made known. Nobody brought it to my attention. Bull crap." Now he says he knew about it before the Copenhagen thing. All right. We're going to get on Dr. Ron Tarner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory here on the Phil Hendry Show tonight. 877-876 is our number, and we're going to talk to Dr. Tarner about this because I'm not angry. I'm angry. I'll tell you what, if it winds up costing us money, I'm going to be so pissed off I won't know what to do. Because I have never seen any issue in the history of my life ram down people's throat like this one. And Dr. Tarner, forgive me, but that's how I feel.
Well, Phil, you're entitled to your opinion. You are wrong. You are very wrong. Let me tell you one other thing, the reason why you're wrong.
Tell me, why am I wrong?
Let me tell you one other thing, the reason why you're wrong, and I don't want to get into an argument with you, Phil. I'm a scientist. I've spent my life in the world of science. Let me tell you one other thing. There are good-bedded women, very good men and women, that are losing their jobs. They're losing their positions at universities. They are losing, in some instances, they are losing a significant amount of money because of this anti-global climate change scare that has been promulgated and has been promoted by the media and by revisionist scientists working for the large energy interests.
Oh, come on, Ron. I mean, we've heard that large energy interest argument over and over. I mean, you guys, who are you working for, okay?
I'm working for the Mountain Meadow Observatory, which is an adjunct of the Colorado University System. I'm not working for a multi-million dollar oil company.
Let's talk to the substance and the specifics of this article, Dr. Turner. This man, this doctor, said that he knew before Copenhagen the glacier claims were false.
I will be happy to get to that in a moment. I just want one thing. You have not addressed what I just said, that there are a great many good scientists who are being run out of the business, who are being mocked almost as if they're in the stockade. And by the way, my wife just said to me that you're not giving out the full phone number. She's listening on the in the kitchen.
Who is that?
My wife just came and said you're not giving out the full phone number.
Oh, all right. Oh, I'm sorry. 1-800-449.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I got it. 877-876-PHIL. Okay.
Oh my God. And you want to?
Don't worry about that. 877-876-PHIL.
Oh my. And you want to debate me on global climate change, and you can't even remember your own phone number. Let me ask you this. What's your Social Security number?
None of your business, okay?
That's a good answer. If you'd given it to me, I would have asked the man at your studio to I don't know how you guys say it, take a dump or...
To dump it.
I don't know how you say it. Forgive me, but that was, Carol's the one to remind me.
Well, thank your wife, Carol. I'm sorry, folks. Our number, 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, my God.
Take it easy, Doc, okay? It's been a long night. And I got the number wrong.
Where do you get this 1-800?
Our old number used to be. Our new number, 877-876-PHIL. Let's get back here to climate change. You have said that this has been promulgated by a media and by willing media people like me to discredit good scientists.
Absolutely, Phil. I don't want to attribute this entirely to you, but I'm going to tell you something. You've had me on your program many times. And you have endeavored to make me look, I think, less than professional. Now,
I've endeavored only to get the truth from you.
Now, excuse me. There are good men and good women in the field of global climate change that are losing jobs and positions. People, this is a McCarthy-era witch hunt that is going to see a great many scientists, I fear, before this is all done, a great many scientists in a very precarious situation. And Phil, we make our living publishing, and we make our living showing our data and showing our writings and showing our literature to fellow scientists so that they can read and glean from what we have done, our research, and enjoy what we've written. I have won awards. I know other men that have won awards.
I want to ask you before you get into this. You've won awards. You've been published. I know that. But the things that you're writing, all right, are they completely substantiated in terms of the science?
That is not the question. And again, you want to divert. The question is, Phil, is what have I lost when I wrote the analysis of a domestic deferral cycle and its relationship to carbon emissions? That was the paper that had won me the Herald Award. And I wrote that paper.
Now, what is that paper on?
That was to show the relationship between carbon emission and what happens to domesticated animals in the wild. We found that animal behavior is changed by the carbon emission, the carbon footprint, and that domestic dogs that had been turned out or otherwise had escaped their domestic environment and had become feral or wild returned to their original home, the original domestic home, now as a wild animal, and attempted to kill the inhabitants of that house. Now, this was important work, and I won the Herald Award for this. This was published in the Pan-Pacific Scientific Journal. It was published in International Science. And now the global warming, and this was a important work on global climate change.
All right, I'm going to ask you again, as I asked you before. Is the science there? What this paper you wrote on domestic animals becoming feral and killing people?
Coming back to, you know, I wish you'd listen to me, Phil.
I'm listening.
Coming back after becoming feral because of the carbon emissions and attacking and killing those who were in the original home.
All right, this was all about carbon emissions.
Yes.
And now we find that we have questions. Where is the proof of this, Doctor?
I'm getting to... It's not about proof, and it's never been about... It's about the hard work...
No, it is about proof. Where's the proof that what you're writing and that other scientists are writing has something to do with global climate change?
It is not about the proof. It's about the hard work that we did writing these articles. Do you understand the writing that we've done and the research that we've done and the effort that goes into publishing an article that will win an award? And, you know, my daughter said one day, she said, "Daddy, you put a lot of big words." And I said to her, "You know something, out of the mouths of babes, because that's what we do. We write articles with a lot of big words. And hopefully those big words will get through to somebody." And I'm upset that you would dismiss a work like the analysis of the domestic to feral cycle.
Well, the analysis of the domestic to feral cycle, sir, whether that's true or not, I don't know. Whether any of this other stuff is true or not, I don't know. Because, Dr. Tarner, all you've said is it isn't important whether it's true or not. It's important that we write these articles. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're on the line here with Dr. Ron Tarner. And he's thought, what do you want, Dr. Tarner?
What do I want?
I got to go to a break, sir.
I'm telling you that we have published a lot of articles. You're asking me, are they true or not? It doesn't matter whether they're true or not. Do you know the work that goes into writing papers that are in scientific journals?
And it doesn't matter whether they're true or not.
Yes, it matters, but you keep leading on that. Let's talk about my daughter. The big words.
All right, we gotta get to the break, bud. Don't ever bring a caller back up like that.
Sorry, that's what we wanted.
877-876-PHIL. Dr. Ron Tarner with us. He's written a lot of articles and he's got a lot of awards, but is the stuff true that he's writing? It doesn't matter, according to him. And we're talking about global climate change, something that they propose will cost a lot of money. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's Phil Hendry Show.
You know what? I don't want to do your show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Ron Tarner joins us from Mountain Meadow in Colorado. Dr. Tarner, one of the leading advocates on behalf of the global climate change science. And I know that you don't like hearing that, Dr. Tarner, because you are one of many who says that the science is settled.
It is settled, and I've one of the most destructive aspects of these so-called emails coming out, and the so-called this. I heard you jumping up and down about this glaciologist saying that the glaciers work at about 20. So you were sounding very excited, like a schoolgirl.
Wait! What are you jumping up and down? I mean, I'm reading the article, okay, and it's very significant.
Well, you're jumping up and down, and forgive me, but like a schoolgirl, because. To you, the reputations of scientists is so much confetti on the floor. To you...
No, that's very wrong, sir. To me, I don't want to wreck reputations.
But would I be allowed to finish? Because I wasn't brought on your program to be argued with.
Yes, you can be allowed to finish, but you can't make a statement like, wrecked reputations to me are just so much confetti.
Well, you are, right now, you and other members of the media, you know, people listening to me agree with me. They know what I'm saying. It's not about whether what we write is true. You're going after scientists and their writings and their reputation. You're ruining reputations. You're causing men to lose careers. You're causing men to lose their tenure. And,
but what if what these men are writing about global warming is wrong?
That is not the point, God. It is not the point.
Yeah, that's not the point.
That's no. Global climate change is not the point. The point that we're making here is that there are men and women that are being literally ground up into hamburger meat by you and others working the crank of the media meat grinder. And, you know, I've got a sinus. My son said to me, Dad, when you say meat grinder, it sounds like beet grinder. And I didn't get the joke until I heard the recording. But that's really what's also happening. To the beat of the meat grinder, you grind up reputations.
Even if what they're writing is wrong.
You're off point. I love it.
Off point. What these guys are writing is wrong. All right, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Taj on the Phil Hendry Show in Sherman Oaks, California. Go ahead, sir. You're on with Dr. Ron Tarner.
Are we taking a phone call?
Yes, we are. Taj, go ahead.
Yes. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Listen, doctor, Phil Hendry keeps asking you, what's the scientific data to support your premise?
That's not the point. That's not the point. The point is, are the careers of scientists that are being ruined by Mr. Hendry and the global climate change critics who keep dragging this email controversy?
Listen, we cannot have scientists talking about the validity or of your paper when we have policies, U.S. policy and worldwide policies being written and enacted based on
what policies being written. Yes, exactly, and it should be.
We need to know if it's true. That's responsible science.
What we're talking about are scientists who have hung themselves.
Scientists. We need responsible.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go on to Bill. Bill, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hey, guys.
We have had scientists, Phil. You just rolled right out of it, didn't you?
I don't know of any scientists that have committed suicide.
Yeah. Well, we have. We had one scientist put his head in a gas oven.
This is Bill.
It doesn't matter to you, does it?
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air, Bill.
Yeah, hey. How come, you know, you people, it's like a religion to you people. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's frigid all the time. It's frigid all the time. Up there in Boston,
you frigid you people.
Down south, it's frigid.
Huh? Who are you people? I'm not a black.
All right.
Black.
So you're saying, Bill, that it's cold, huh?
Well, you say you
it's
people.
It's frigid all the time. The winters are frigid.
Oh, why did you buy a coat?
The summers are cold. And you people keep trying to shove this baloney down our throats so you can ruin the economy.
Boston,
you know
Boston,
what I mean?
It wasn't cold in Boston. You need to either buy a jacket or get your blood pressure checked.
What are you talking about?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. So what we're talking about here more than anything else is you're just blowing everybody off, huh?
Well, you heard those two imbeciles I was just talking to. I mean, that guy says that...
That guy said it was cold all the time.
It isn't about cold. It's about global climate change. And these idiots think it's still about global warming. It's not about global warming. We've changed that.
You've changed it, huh? You've changed it just in time for it to be cold. That's the other thing. Things were warming up. Whoa, no, they're not warming up now. Now it's global climate change. The temperature's rising. The temperature's right. Now all of a sudden the temperature doesn't have to be rising necessarily. It's just going through some changes.
And what's your point?
My point is the following thing. When you accuse me and others of ruining the reputations of scientists, when you accuse me and others of ruining the reputations of people who are researching this, okay, and you can't come up with an answer when I ask you, okay, is your research true? Is your analysis true? Is your paper, the analysis of the domestic to feral cycle, this idea that domesticated dogs go out, become wild, and then return and kill their owners...
Yeah, what about it?
And that's the result of the carbon footprint.
That is very much a possibility. Did you ever see, and I'll give you, you're going to think this is stupid, but I'm going to try to go at this from the other way. Did you ever see a movie called Them? Did you see Them?
With the giant ants, yes.
Yes. And it was caused by the A-bomb. Now, I'm trying to get you to understand that, and I'm just going at it from a very basic way. if we have an environmental or scientific event that frightens us, isn't it possible that it will change edible life? Whereas the atom bomb made ants giant, can't global warming cause dogs to go and eat their owner? That's my theory.
Great stuff, man.
Which is like saying, go to hell. I get it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Back here with Dr. Ron Tarner, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Dr. Ron Tarner with us on global climate change. And Dr. Tarner, you're a advocate of global climate change. I told you, we gave you the story here of the false glacier claims that were kept from the delegates at Copenhagen, the scientists in the stolen email scandal who hid the climate data. This is a black eye for your efforts at alerting the world to something you think is very serious, and that's global climate change.
Phil, you know, I've spent a good part of your program trying to tell you that these are all men, and myself included, we have written extensive pieces for scientific journals that have taken an enormous amount of time and work. And when my son and daughter come in, and they're very young, and they say, Daddy, you have to look up a lot of big words for the articles that you write, I would say that that is a pretty fair statement. There's a lot of big words that go into it.
Well, hold on for a minute. What exactly is the effort you're expending, sir, if you're not proving that global climate change exists and we have scientists who are hiding climate data? We have the climate chief who was told of false glacier claims before Copenhagen and hid it.
I am telling you, there's a lot of big words that go into these articles. And there's a lot of
big words, so it's hard for you to write these articles because you got to look up big words.
No, not because I have to look up big words. I don't look up big words. I know what they mean. I'm telling you, I've written articles that have been hailed by my colleagues as very prescient and extremely relevant in the global climate change debate, and I've won 3 awards for my writings.
But you haven't said to me how relevant they are in terms of the proof that there's such a thing as climate change.
I'm going to say you have defecated on me and my colleagues' work. And
oh, don't. Using that kind of language, sir.
No, I'm saying exactly. You squatted and let it drop. And we put years.
Boy, that's a real grown-up approach, isn't it?
What?
Squatted and let it drop.
Hey, you know, we have put years into studying this issue, and you went ahead, and I'll say it like a child. You want to be a child? I'll be a child. You went number 2 on the top of hard work, and
oh boy, you.
Oh boy, what?
You went number 2.
My daughter came in and said, "Daddy, that man."
Oh, your daughter came in and said that? First of all, you got your wife coming in and saying that I'm not giving out the phone number.
Damn good thing she did. Otherwise, you'd still be sitting there not giving out your phone. You'd be giving out 1-800-something, which is what you did. And I want to point that out to people. The number of your show, how do people call your show? What is it?
They're on a phone.
Hold on. Oh, that's so funny. There, you feel better? I just gave you a laugh track.
On our phone, you know something, Doctor? You have avoided answering the questions about global climate change throughout the evening. You have said that you write articles.
I do.
And there's a lot of big words in them, and that costs a lot of a lot of big words. Boy.
I said out of the mouth, don't you make fun of my daughter. Don't you dare make fun of my daughter.
I'm not making fun of your daughter, and you know full well.
She's the one who said Daddy uses big words.
Okay, that's what a child would say. You're telling me, though, that because you use and you work hard at looking up the big words you use in your articles, it doesn't make any difference whether the global climate change argument that you make is true or not.
Does it make you feel better to go on the air and just go ahead and go number 2 on hard work?
Would you grow up? Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Do I come out here, Mr. Hendry, and drop a steaming pile on your performance, and you can't give out a phone number? And when you couldn't give out the phone number, did you see me saying, I got go number 2? No.
What I said was...
I don't know where this is coming from.
Where it's coming from is, my wife came in and said, this guy can't even give a number out. Well, you finally did. You sounded like you'd suffered a head injury.
I gave the number out, and I'll give it out again, 877-876-PHIL.
All right, but the first time you did, it sounded as if you had a head injury, like it was a paralysis on some part of your head, I don't know. And I was stunned, and I was shocked. I was frightened, as a matter of fact. And you want me to debate global climate change, I'm talking to a man who sounds as if he was in a Jeep, the top of which got ripped off as you rolled into a ravine somewhere out in Thousand Oaks, California.
What? What are you talking about?
You know full well what I'm talking about. What? Yeah. My wife just said you gave out the number the wrong way.
Your wife is crazy. I gave it out 8. I'm going to tell you something.
It's 8. There it is. There's the number. It's 8, folks.
877-876-PHIL. I'm going to tell you something. You can say all you want about how I'm going number 2 on your hard work.
Well, this isn't just me. It's other scientists who are working very hard, too, Mr. Henry. What?
You sound like you've been drinking, but...
Well, that's a great way to change the subject.
Well, you just did. I'm going to tell you this. I happen to know that, and you've said to me, that you guys are not really in the business of proving anything. You guys are in the business of pointing the finger at me and others like me and indicting us for even questioning you.
Do you know, let me ask you, Phil, do you know what the term heterogeneous means? Do you? Heterozygous. Heterozygous, that's the number. I mean, that's the term.
What?
Do you know what heterozygous means?
No, I do not.
All right. I'm the learned one who uses terms like that. I use that in a paper, and you have the nerve to go ahead and say, well, that was a great breakfast. I think I'll go in and do some business in the toilet on Dr. Tarter's work. So...
Wait. You said what?
I said, do you know what the word heterozygous means?
I do not, no.
I have used that in a paper.
So? So what?
Boy, you don't get it. My daughter just said I use big words.
Look, at Dr. Tarter, you using big words doesn't mean anything if it doesn't prove anything.
I've made a lot of money, and Al Gore and others have used our work, and I have been published, and I've won awards.
But just the stuff you write is horse dung, so it doesn't matter. If you use the word heterozygous, if you've been published in 15 trade journals, if you've won awards from here to the end of time, if the stuff that you are writing...
You are screwing with my livelihood here, my friend.
Hey, pal, you're screwing with your livelihood if you can't write anything about global climate change that is real.
You're taking food out of my own daughter's mouth, all right? She's already having a difficult time with the English language when she says, my dad write big words. You think I want to hear her talking that way when she's 30? Don't take bread out of my daughter's mouth.
You're the one taking bread out of your daughter's mouth. You're doing it. Every time you put a big word like heterozygous in an article, and at the end of the article, nobody can figure out what you're talking about or whether you're proving anything.
Oh, really? Because I get paid plenty for those.
Oh, I'll bet you do. I'll bet you there's guys in your business that pay you plenty for using words like heterozygous. And
you know what, flat earther? Let me tell you something. You're stealing my daughter's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You have taken her a Happy Meal, Mr. Flat Earther.
What's the flat earther? Is that it? Oh, okay, because I don't buy that. I'm a flat earther.
That's right. And you've taken the big burglar meal from my daughter's lips. Good night, and a very pleasant go to.
You know, I'll just say this. You can indict somebody for all manner of things, and if they're explosive enough and colorful enough, you've actually gotten people's minds off of the actual topic, see? So we're talking about whether global climate change is real. He's called me a flat earther. He said I did number 2 on his hard work, that I'm stealing the burglar meal out of his daughter's mouth. And every other kind of insult, and that I don't know what heterozygous means, but he does, and he uses it in an article, and so therefore he makes a lot of money.
Well, you want me to try to call him back?
No, did he hang up on me?
Yeah.
No, you don't call him back. Not at all. And it's just another bit, just as far as I'm concerned, it's another chink of armor that's, and then I'm squatting on his hard work. I'll tell you, these guys, you come up with some good, hard facts about stuff, Doctor, and you refute some of the stuff about the glacier evidence and the stolen email evidence. I would love to hear you address that, and then we'll get back on the topic of global climate change. But telling me that I'm stealing the Happy Meal from your daughter's lips 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Are you calling back?
I don't care.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Phil Hendry.
What?
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
We ain't done a Dr. Green Thumb in a long time, so the time is right for a Dr. Green Thumb here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Pot smokers busted on YouTube. Anyway, hello, Sarper County Lieutenant Steve Grabowski tells 1110 KFAB Omaha they found more than 90 videos on YouTube showing David Johnson and his 17- and 19-year-old sons smoking dope, the stupid jerk. Investigators also seized 50 bongs and pipes from Johnson's house during the January 12th search. Johnson has been charged with misdemeanor child abuse and possession of drug paraphernalia and marijuana. Johnson's eldest son, Travis, was cited for marijuana possession. The 17-year-old is now in foster care. We can't go without attention. Hello. Holy God, look at man. You don't let your kids smoke dope, you stupid freaking redneck. The internet has been a tool for law enforcement officials in recent years because there are people out there who are honestly that dumb. They video themselves committing crimes, felonies in many cases. Then they put it on the internet and they think no one's going to care. God. The Associated Press, Riverside. Dateline. Sentencing is set for April the 12th for a Southern California man who was pulled over driving a big rig containing 14 tons of marijuana. Federal court records show 51-year-old Angel Guion Rea of Ontario in San Bernardino County pleading guilty this week to transporting the marijuana with the intent to
smoke it.
No, not to smoke it, to distribute it. What are you going to do with that? I'm going to smoke all of it. All right, you're free to go. Raja, or Raya, as he's known to his friends that are stoned, was driving a big rig on Interstate 15 south of Temecula in August when he was pulled over for making an unsafe lane change. That, according to the Press Enterprise of San Berdu, court records say a drug-sniffing dog alerted deputies to the presence of drugs. The dog went right over here, guys. Deputies opened the trailer and found pallets of dope stacked to the ceiling. U.S. Attorney's Office spokesman says no one else has been charged in the case, but an investigation into the source of the weed is ongoing. A former manager of a UPS store in Atlanta pled guilty on Friday to stealing a package containing marijuana, selling it, then lying to federal authorities about it. As part of a previous inquiry by law enforcement, Anna K. Wright of Atlanta agreed to tip off the U.S. Postal inspectors to a certain mailbox in her store, if her store... You know what? This story's old. Wilmington, North Carolina. What?
What do you mean the story's old?
I read that story 6 months ago about the chick and the thing in Atlanta, and she tipped them off because she didn't want to get busted.
Oh.
Wilmington, North Carolina. The aroma of marijuana lingered in the parking lot, and moonshine measured 3/4 full in a quart jar on the tour bus, according to officials. But despite citations given on Thursday night to six of singer-songwriter Willie Nelson's band members... For allegedly illegally possessing the substances, the concert was scheduled to go on. That was until it was announced Nelson wasn't feeling up to it. Why do you suppose that was?
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
According to information from the North Carolina Alcohol Law Enforcement Division Agency out of Wilmington and a news release on Wilson's official website, it was pain in Wilson's hand, the one in which he had carpal tunnel surgery that caused the concert to be canceled, according to the news release.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, Nelson was not on the tour bus when ALE agents found marijuana and non-tax-paid alcohol, which is moonshine, said Ted Carlton, special agent in charge of District 3 ALE out of Wilmington. In other news, but I need that marijuana for my church. Dateline Alaska, the appeals court that ruled against a couple accused of growing marijuana plants, which they say they needed as members of the United Global Mankind Divine Maintenance and Direction religion. Instead of smoking weed, they say the UGMDMDers doused their bodies with a mixture of marijuana juice and olive oil. The court, can you get stoned like it's,
Let's try it.
I'm not gonna, what do you mean, why don't I try it? How much dope does it take to douse yourself with an olive oil? And anyway, the court declared shenanigans, saying religious freedom is protected by the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, but the Juneau trial court judge, Superior Court Judge Larry Weeks, concluded the Linekers had made up their beliefs. At the time, he said, Michael Lineker's speech and manner under oath left the court with a firm conviction that as he was testifying, he was making it up as he went along. That's what we call bullcrap in that term paper, man. So that is our Dr. Green Thumb report for today here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. And now it's time for our stories we couldn't get to this evening, and there are a few of them. In Brownsville, Texas, a food fight in Brownsville has led to a cafe owner facing an aggravated assault charge over a customer allegedly whacked on the head with a plate. Police said Maria Del Rio Cordero was accused of tossing a tray of food and tea at a customer who had complained he ordered a chicken dish but was served beef. KRGV Television in Brownsville, Texas, reported the pair argued before both allegedly threw food items at each other. Isn't that all growed up of them? A 61-year-old man slugged a store manager over seafood on Monday afternoon. A lot of food fights around the country. This in Perkins Township, Ohio. Perkins police arrested Ralph Barr, age 61, for assault and criminal damaging after he repeatedly punched Kroger store manager Monty Irwin in a dispute over the price of crab cakes. The store apparently made a mistake in the price of the crab cakes, and Irwin offered to sell the man the first pound at a discounted price, but the rest at the correct price. Well, Mr. Barr, the 61-year-old Ralph Barr, allegedly spit in the manager's face, headbutted him, and hit him five or six times in the face, breaking the man's glasses. That because he offered him a discount on his rotten, foul, gut-wrenching crab cakes. Italy is about to open its first prison designed to cater exclusively to transsexuals. That's fantastic. Guards will undertake special training on how to treat transgender prisoners when the prison block opens near Empoli in Tuscany in March. Campaigners welcomed the initiative, the first of its kind, because they said transsexual prisoners face discrimination in Italy's mainstream prisons and are rejected by both male and female inmates. Huh? Well, why don't you pass a law to make them not be rejected? Why do you gotta... Anyway... Around 30 transgender detainees will be moved to the facility from a prison outside Florence where they are currently serving their sentences. Most were convicted for prostitution or drug-related offenses, and if any were convicted for, say, spree killing, mass murder, or serial murder, we sure as hell wouldn't tell you here. However, it's a very beautiful thing. Good for you, Italy. Thanks. Now, in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, a 40-year-old Pennsylvania man's in jail after threatening to rob his local Bank of America branch in revenge for an overdraft fee. Francis Coleman, an unemployed machinist from Bethlehem, PA, called his local TV station Wednesday night, and he told him he wanted a camera crew to film him robbing the bank. Tomorrow I'm going to get my satisfaction. I'm going to rob the place, Coleman said, according to WFMZ producer Dan Rinkus. Satisfaction's going to be had one way or the other. Coleman complained to Rinkus that Bank of America sold his information to what he called a credit assistance agency, which took money from his account, leading to overdraft fees. Rinkus said that in a matter of fact tone, Coleman gave the address of the branch he intended to rob at 11 a.m. the next morning and volunteered that it was near his house. Coleman said he expected Rinkus would relay the information to police. He said he was unemployed. He said he was down and out and at the real end of his rope. Another station employee called police. Officers arrived at the house where Coleman lived with his mother around 11 p.m. Coleman told her he knew what they wanted and that she should go into the back room and sit down. Then he answered the door. He said, I know why you're here. It's because of what I said to Channel 69 News. Is this news from another planet or something, bud?
No, it's from, what do you mean?
What do you mean the guy is like he called him? He lives with his mother, Channel 69. Get out of here.
It's real, I swear to God.
I think you're picking up intergalactic news or something. I think it's like from Mars or something. In Buenos Aires, Argentina's president recommended pork as an alternative to Viagra, saying she spent a satisfying weekend with her husband after he ate barbecued pork. Better tell Steve Dooley, man.
Yeah, he can't if he has a pork sandwich and everything.
We know. Bobby's husband, Steve, he can't perform if he even smells pork being barbecued. So anyway, said the president, President Cristina Fernandez of Argentina, I've just been told something I didn't know, that eating pork improves your sex life. I'd say it's a lot nicer to eat a bit of grilled pork than take Viagra. President Cristina Fernandez said this to the leaders of the pig farming industry. She said she recently ate pork and things went very well that weekend, so it could well be true. She ate the pork.
Yeah.
Well, what's that got to do with... Argentines are the world's biggest per capita consumers of beef, but the government has sought to promote pork, come hell or high water, even if the president has to open up her private bedroom life to everyone.
I'll sell your pork. Don't worry about it.
Well, Madam President, don't worry about it. You just get the cameras, get everybody out there. When I get done, man, when I get this sucker rolling, you'll be holding on for mercy. Anyway, trying it doesn't cost anything, so let's give it a go, Fernandez said in a televised speech as she pulled her underwear back on. All right. World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rance. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. World-famous Phil Henry Show website is philhenryshow.com. For the largest archive of radio comedy anywhere, PC World calls it one of the funniest websites on the web. Till tonight, tomorrow morning, or later on, a very pleasant good morning from El Pacifico.
Phil Henry.